I'm so thankful for our music ministry here at the Creek. I tell you what, I just appreciate the wonderful job Brother Mike's doing, and all the folks that are in the choir and special music, instrumental as well. Just thank you for your service. Just contributes immensely to our worship services, and just want to tell you how much I appreciate that. If you want to find your way to Ephesians chapter 6, that's where we'll be this morning with the time the Lord's going to give us. Just want to, while you're turning there, say a few things here. First of all, it's good to have with us Pastor Helan and his dear wife from Calvary Baptist Church. Good to have you here, brother. And thank you for being with us and worshiping with us. And that's a blessing. And then I just wanted to give an update on the fall festival yesterday. Man, I tell you what, we had a ball. I think I had too much fun, to be honest with you. I'm hurting this morning. I said, Lord, if this is an indication of how the turkey bowl is going to go, maybe I should double think this thing. But then I got to thinking, I said, where's your courage at, Brinson? I said, this was a warm-up for the turkey bowl, amen? Getting me broke in and getting ready for that. But we had an outstanding day yesterday. We had, I believe I counted on the children that have been registered, I think we had at least 48. I know I counted 48 for sure, and there was probably a couple that maybe didn't get signed in. And then we had nearly 40, I believe it was around 35 workers. That was teenagers, adults, and just people coming in and working out. And then we had folks from our churches come in and help us out with cheering us on, those sack races. Oh, I'm afraid some of you got that on video. And Brother Mark, we had a couple tumbles, didn't we, brother? But that's all right. We survived it. And just a good time, just a good outreach. Got to meet several new families. And I told our church, and I feel like in my heart the reason we have that is, number one, to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and but number two, we want to encourage the brethren, folks in our church, the children in our church. And by the way, when you get to serving along one another, by the way, that's encouraging. That's an encouraging way to serve our Lord. And then thirdly, just to be a blessing to our community. Those that live around us and different, even different towns that are nearby that can come out and just enjoy a day of fellowship and just appreciate all the hard work. Brother Tim was our director. Brother Tim Sparks did a phenomenal job heading that up. And we had Aaron and Lisa and Anna and Hunter helping direct that as well. And then all our youth group was fully involved. Boy, they just did a phenomenal job decorating. And just all hands, Sunday school teachers were in there. And just really appreciate everybody getting on board. And I'm already looking forward to next year. How many of you would like to do it next year? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I'm looking forward to doing that. And we will certainly plan towards that. And thank God for it. All right, you find your place there in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. We are in chapter 6. And I'll be picking up here. I'll be reading in just a moment, starting in verse number 13. But before I start reading, I just want to bring some folks up to date. We've been doing a series on spiritual warfare, studying this passage in Ephesians where Paul is dealing with spiritual warfare. And usually we've been in it on Wednesday nights, but God impressed upon my heart to bring this message this morning as we get to this piece of the armor, or this piece of protection, if you will. And just felt impressed, and I think we might continue on tonight with the next piece if the Lord allows us to do that. But it's been a help to me personally, this study, and I appreciate several of you that have said that you've profited from this study and that the Lord's helped you as you are engaged, as you are in the battle against the forces of evil. And because they're out, friend. The devil's out. He's not on vacation. He's not taking a break. And he never will until his time comes to an end. And we shouldn't take timeouts either, amen? And we should be ready for that. Well, let me read the verses here, and then we'll have prayer. It says here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, not part of it, not half of it, not 99% of it, but the whole, the 100% armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That was the first armor that he listed. We talked about the importance of truth. And then he goes on to say, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And we talked about our position in Christ. But we also talked about our practical righteousness, how there's great protection in our practical holiness. And then verse 15, he says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we talked about having the peace of God and how powerful that was in this day and age, having God's peace that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning, with the Lord's help, we're going to go on verse 16. And it says, above all. That's very interesting. We'll talk about that here in a minute, how this part of the armor, protection, is above all, Paul says. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Let's pray together. Father, I confess right off that I can do nothing without You. I don't even want to try, Lord. I pray that You just help me to present myself a living sacrifice, just, Lord, a vessel fit for the Master's use. I pray, Lord, You'd take Your Word and just use it in the hearts of the people that are present here this morning. Lord, Holy Spirit, You can teach, You can comfort, You can rebuke, but I cannot. And so, Lord, I commit all of that to You, and I just pray that You'd meet with us and help us and bring us closer to Yourself through this great topic, this great subject of our faith in You, and how powerful that is against our enemy, our adversary, the devil. Lord, I pray You'd set a hedge around this place where he might not have any interference with what You want to do. And God will give You the glory because You're worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we see here in verse 16, Paul comes down to a sort of separating himself, or not himself, but separating the armor from that which you wear to that which you hold. We'll talk about that more here in a minute. But basically what we're getting down to in verse 16 is talking about the shield of faith, that which will protect that Christian soldier from the attacks of Satan, just as it did for the Roman soldier. When he was fighting whatever battle he was, his armor, one of the most important pieces of his armor, was his shield. And we'll talk more about that here in a minute. But this faith, we need to understand the general concept of this verse and of what the shield of faith does. I want to talk about and try to emphasize how much it is our protection. Yes, the other armor is protection. Absolutely it is. But Paul says, above all, this will be your protection. This will protect, if you want to call the other protection, which it is, this will be the protector of your protection. This is that force, that shield of faith that will stand in front of the breastplate of righteousness. It will protect the helmet of salvation. It will protect the loins girt about with truth, the belt of truth. It will help protect the feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This shield, they say, is anywhere from 2 feet wide to 4 feet long. And it's made of solid wood covered in metal and leather, and was so important to the Roman soldier when it came to battle. And for his protection, and also for the protection of those that he was fighting alongside. And we'll mention more about that here in a minute. But it is our protection. It's our defense. Folks, we are not left defenseless. We have a defense. But we have a responsibility to take it up. The Word of God says here in verse 16, above all, taking the shield. The shield of faith. You know, we got the rockets of Satan, the artillery, the mortars that are coming after us daily, after the child of God. They're coming at us, and they're seeking to destroy us, and we must have a defense. God has given us that. You know, I'm sure most of you have heard of this that are here this morning. If you hadn't, I'll explain a little bit about it. But the country Israel, the nation of Israel, is, of course, under attack all the time. It has been from the Middle Eastern countries that surround it, and it got so bad where they have created or invented a defense missile system. It's called the Iron Dome. It is a protection against the enemies of Iran and others and the Palestinians that will seek to wreak havoc upon the Israelis with their rockets and their mortars. And this defense system, the Iron Dome, it assesses and intercepts incoming rockets. Anywhere that are shot off from up to 50 miles away, they are to intercept those, and it has just been highly, highly successful. It's an interceptor, and it's to block, it's to defend the incoming threats that are launched at them. It is a system deployed today in Israel, and get this, it provides protection day and night. Around the clock, if there's a mortar and missile coming in the direction, the Iron Dome is ready. It's prepared. It has achieved more than over 1,500 interceptions, successful intercepts that it has accomplished. It's a great defense system, and it's important to preserve their sovereignty, their authority, their power as a nation. It's so important. Well, I want to tell you, it's just as important for the child of God to be ready to protect himself, herself, from the onslaughts of Satan, from the missiles. We also need a defense system. We also need a way to intercept, to block, to defend ourselves against the fiery darts of Satan. And God has given us that. God has given us that through the shield of faith. Let's talk more about this faith that God is speaking of here. It's not just any faith. You often would hear the term, people, if you're talking to people about the Lord or talking about the Bible, you often hear, well, what do you believe will get you to heaven one day? And sometimes you'll hear that statement, well, you just got to have faith. You got to have faith. And then you get to digging a little bit, well, what do you mean by that? Well, they go on and say, well, you just got to believe. But you got to have an object to believe in. You got to have a subject. You got to have something you're putting your faith and your confidence in. It's just not an empty faith. It's just not a faith that's just out there. I just believe. There's no power in that. It must have a subject, an object that you're putting your faith in. And that, my friend, is the difference between just faith and biblical faith. Now, this is a way I defined it. I'm sure you could go probably to 100 commentaries that would define it 100 times better than this. But this is the way I define biblical faith. It is resting with complete confidence in God and His Word. It is resting with complete confidence, no reservations, in God, the God of the Bible, and His Word. That's what I believe faith is. And again, there's many ways to define faith, which are very good definitions, I'm sure. But it's simply relying. It's simply putting your total trust in. That word trust is so powerful. If you were here at our fall festival yesterday, Brad, bless his heart, as we say in the South, I'm thankful for him. Thankful that he was willing to say, yeah, man, I'll help you out with the illustration. But he did the faith fall for us. Some of the men got he stood up on the hay bale and he just fell completely backwards. Without trying to stop himself, without trying to ease his fall, dead weight, just dropped straight back. And that was a picture, an image of complete reliance. He relied completely upon the men that were down there to catch him. And that was the faith that we were going to do that. And that is the faith that God wants us to have, His creation to have in Him, the human race, to have faith that He is who He says He is through His Word. You know, John Patton, famous missionary to the South Sea Islands, went there when no missionary had been there. Savages, people, cannibalism, I mean, just awful things. And he went there to translate the Word of God for them. And one of the things he ran off into straight off, Brother James, is that he ran into a problem of finding a word for faith. He couldn't seem to find the exact word that they needed to translate the word faith. And, of course, that was one of the most important words that he needed to translate of the New Testament. And one day, he's sitting in his hut. He's at South Sea Islands, and one of the natives comes kind of running in, looking exhausted, sweat pouring just profusely there, and he comes in, and he flops himself down on the chair. He says, "Oh, it feels so good to rest completely upon this chair." The word he used right there gave the word that John Patton needed to use for faith. Because that native associated with that word, resting completely upon the God of heaven. And he translated that word faith, and the natives understood it. And many islands were impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ because they understood what faith was. Biblical faith. Resting completely, unreservedly upon the God of the Bible. That's what they considered to be biblical faith. That is biblical faith. Resting completely. Let's go down this verse, if we can, just some of these phrases I've picked out. Number one is I want us to see the priority of this shield of faith. This biblical faith. The priority of the shield. Listen to what he says, above all. Why above all? Well, like I said, it's protecting the other parts of the armor. Not that necessarily it's more important than the Word of God. I don't think that's what the Word of God is saying, but it is this, it's emphasizing the importance of protecting yourself. The shield. It protects the other parts. It protects it and prepares you for that which is ahead. That shield of faith. Listen, I want to tell you something before we get any further, and we'll see it. If you don't have your shield of faith up, you're open game to the fiery darts of Satan. It will penetrate the others much more easily if you refuse to hold up the shield of faith. We see the priority. It says above all for that protection. Number two, I want us to see the responsibility to take up the shield. We see the priority, but number two, we see the responsibility. Notice the word there, it says taking the shield. Now, the previous verses referring to the other parts of the armor, it was the verb having put on. The idea is wearing. It is attached to your body. Well, it switches to taking because you're no longer going through things you are wearing. Now you're going to the armor, the part of the armor that you're taking. A personal responsibility to pick it up and hold it ready for the fiery darts of Satan. It's that personal responsibility that each of us have for taking up the shield. Soldiers were to always be ready to take their shield. You also see that word taking for the sword. And you also see that word taking for the helmet. It goes from having to taking. I mean, we see it in our, even in today in sports and things. Of course, you know, some football players do, but you know, after the defense is done, a lot of times those guys go to the sidelines and they take off their helmet. Well, most of the times they're holding it, though. They're holding it close by. It's ready. And when it's time to go on the field, there's an interception, whatever, got to get back out there, turn over on downs, boom, helmet's on, back out. Well, that's the way the Christian soldier were. He didn't sit inside and eat his supper with his helmet on. He didn't hold his shield while he sat there and ate his supper. There were times that he would set it aside, but it would always be close by. It would always be readily accessible to take up immediately when the darts were started flying. When the alarm started going off, and by the way, if you're a born-again child of God, you ought to by now be able to detect when Satan's attacking. We'll talk more about that here in a second. But the shield was ready to go, and it was a personal responsibility. Buddy, if the soldier went out to the battle without his shield, it was his own fault. He was responsible for taking his shield to stand against these fiery darts of Satan. So we see, number one, the priority, and number two, the responsibility. But number three, I want us to see the singularity of the shield. It says, of faith. I think that's peculiar there. I think it's particular, I should say, the shield of faith. Listen, it's not the shield of self. It's not the shield of abilities. You may have many abilities, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with having lots of abilities. But listen, That's like cardboard when it comes to the fiery darts of Satan. It will not hold up. It'll burn up in a second. The Bible doesn't say the shield of others. The shield and riches. No, it's the shield of faith. And it's the shield of faith that's in Christ. In Christ alone I stand. It's Christ, and it's singular. Those shields, it wasn't all these little pieces mended together and put together and attached and sewn together. No, buddy, that shield, it was solid. One piece. And friend, if you're going to have faith that stands, it will be singular in Christ. Singleness of mind, as we heard about the other day in the Word of God. In Christ, Him alone, that's where I stand. My faith is in Christ. The shield of faith depends on nothing else. We're so tempted, aren't we, to depend upon others, to depend upon other crutches to give us satisfaction. But can I warn you and exhort you this morning? It will not hold up against Satan's attacks. You stand exposed. You must hold up the shield of faith which is in Christ. So if we see fourthly, I want us to see the invincibility of the shield. That's right. Invincible. This shield, look what it says in the Word of God, above all, taking the shield of faith, get this, wherewith ye shall be able. Ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I want us to break that phrase apart, this second part of this verse. I want us to first of all look at the enablement. The Christian soldier is enabled to quench the fiery darts. He is able. He's given the power to. It says it right there. It says it right there. In fact, I'm going to break this down in ease. Basically, I'm going to break it down like this, the second part of this verse. Enabled to extinguish every effort of the wicked. Enabled to extinguish every effort of the wicked to attack me, to destroy me. We see there is an enablement. You are able. God's not going to lie to us. If we're able, we're able. But not only do we see that we're enabled, but number two, we're enabled to extinguish. We are giving the power and the strength to extinguish. It says there in our verse, to quench. Well, what does that mean? It means to put out. It means to put down. It means to defend, to block, to bring to naught, to quench. Extinguish those darts when they come. Hey, listen, I like what one commentary said. We cannot keep Satan from throwing the darts, but we can keep them from starting a fire. We can keep them from starting a fire. They will come, but we must be willing to hold up the shield of faith which is able to quench them. Listen, instead of quenching it, add fuel to it, hey, it gets beyond our control. Because that's exactly what happens when we're not up the shield of faith. The arrows hit, they spark a fire, and it ends up getting out of control. And then it controls us. What a scary thing. I don't know about you, if you've ever had this experience. I hope you don't. I hope you don't. But I remember as a kid, my first experience with an out-of-control fire. Of course, you know your typical scene, buddies out in the woods burning stuff. I was probably about 10 years old. And, you know, we had somehow or another got a hold of some matches or something and thought we could, you know, build a fire or whatever. And man, it must have been real dry like it is now. And maybe the fall of the year and the leaves. And man, me and my buddies, we got to probably playing with it or something. I don't know exactly what happened, but I remember, one thing I do remember vividly is that it got out of control. We started panicking. We were trying to stomp it out. And it seemed like the more we stomped on those leaves, the more it spread. Until finally we all came back, we're probably crying our eyes out, screaming and telling Mom, Dad, call the fire department. Sure enough, the fire department had to come out. And I'm sure a lot of our fellas here know well that they probably see that stuff all the time. But it was a scary feeling that this fire had got out of control and there was nothing I could do at the time to stop it. And we had to call the fire department to extinguish this fire. Well, can I tell you something? If you are not holding up the shield of faith, those fiery darts will come and they will spark a fire that will get out of control very quickly. Very quickly. And so that's why the great importance is to making sure that shield is in place and ready to go. And listen, it's not something to put off. It's something to do instantly. Do it quickly as they come. I'll talk more about this in a minute, but you've got to deal with the attacks of Satan quickly. When those thoughts come across your mind, deal with it immediately. No, that's not my God. That's not what God says. That's not what His Word says about that. When He accuses, when He causes doubt, when He causes worry, you must put up the shield of faith for those things to be quenched, to be stopped, because when they're allowed to go, they wreak havoc on the child of God. And that's where we run into a lot of depression. They just get overtaken by the attacks of Satan. And it's time the children of God pick up the shield of faith and believe that there's a God in heaven that can bring deliverance. I believe that there is, but you got to pick up the shield of faith. But not only does it give us the power, it enables us to do this, to extinguish it, but I love the Word of God that the Holy Spirit put every in there. Defines the word all, that's every. It says there in our verse, you see it, able to quench all. Not some, again, not part, A-double-L, all the fiery darts of Satan. Isn't that comforting to the Christian this morning? That you don't have to worry about, well, there are some of those arrows, they're just going to get through. That's not true. That's not true. That's simply not true. God has says, your shield that I'm giving you that's in Christ, your faith in the God of the Bible, it will stand against every one of the artillery that Satan has. There's not a one that will penetrate. I guarantee it with my blood. The blood of the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. The Lord Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords. The mighty God. He's promised it. He's promised to be our shield. I'm telling you right now, all the fiery darts. These arrows back in these Roman times, man, they were vicious. These guys, of course, they didn't have arms like we do, of course. So what they did is they do what they do today. They try to cause the most devastation with their weaponry. And so what they did is on some of those arrows, they would put some sort of poison resin upon the end of them. So when it did penetrate, even if it didn't penetrate much, even if it penetrated a little bit, it would get in the blood and the person would be dead within hours or days. Fiery darts, the fiery poison. Also, they would put some sort of flammable tar whatnot on these arrows many times and shoot, whether they're in battle, to cause much flame and fire upon houses, even upon the people themselves. They would cause great damage. That was the goal. Literal fire that would be sent to destroy. Hey, listen, we have to control this with the shield of faith. With the shield of faith that we have. We must meet every dart that Satan sends our way with the shield of faith. What are some of the darts that he sends? Well, here's one thing I know for sure. They're all different for each one of us. Because we all are uniquely made by the Lord, and we all have our weaknesses. We all have different types of thinking and personalities. And the truth is, Satan knows about those. Don't ever think for a minute that Satan doesn't know about you. Well, he especially knows about you if you're trying to do something for the Lord. But here's the thing. He knows what arrows to send your way. Some of them, and this is even in my own life, that I've experienced doubt, the fiery dart of doubt, discouragement, depression, fear, worries, lust, jealousy, covetousness, criticism, envy, pride. Those darts He will shoot at us. And He knows where to hit us. But we got to quench them. No, my God says this, and I believe it's true. Throw up the shield of faith. Quench them. Because if you let them go, child of God, if you let them go, it's going to get out of control. And you must, with much soberness, be willing to say, listen, I know Satan, they're just like I'm getting bombarded right now. Can I encourage you to put up that shield of faith, get into the Word of God and believe what God says. Find out those verses that deal with the problem you're struggling with right now. Deal with it with the Word of God, believing that's God's Word, believing He will give you the strength you need to overcome. We see that they come, and they come fiercely. So we see also this effort. We see also this effort. We saw that the enablement, and then we see that the extinguish every, all of them, effort. Now, who is this one of the wicked it talks about? Well, I believe primarily in the context we see, we're talking about the wicked one, Satan. Previously, Lucifer, who fell because of pride. He wanted to exalt himself higher than the God of heaven, the Creator God. But he is the one that can come. But listen, he has emissaries. It's not just him, it's the demons too. And not only that, but guess what other enemies we have? Not only the wicked one, who, by the way, I like the way John MacArthur says it here, Satan literally bombards his opponents, get this, with fiery darts of seductive temptation to elicit ungodly responses. Can I say that again? Satan literally bombards his opponents with fiery darts of seductive temptation to elicit ungodly responses. When those darts come, that's what he's wanting. He's wanting us to respond to them. He's wanting us to respond to that doubt, to that lust, to that covetousness. Think on it. That's his goal. Yeah, think on it. There you go. Meditate on that untrue stuff. Yeah, there you go. Follow through with it. Keep going. Boy, his effort. But boy, you got to pick up that shield of faith. But I want to tell you something. We better be careful. And it's just not the wicked one. It's my wicked heart too. My wicked heart, which is deceitful above all things. My wicked heart. What else? The wicked men. The Bible says the wicked men of this world that will seek to accuse us and seek to harm us and persecute us. The wicked men. This wicked world, which is an enemy against God. We see that there's an effort of the wicked one to destroy us. But oh, thank God, He says that we have the shield of faith and that it's able to quench all the fiery darts that He would send our way. Hey, listen, I know, if you're like me, the missiles are flying. Satan is mad at you. He hates you. He despises you. If you're even making a glimpse of desire to show towards the Lord Jesus, he's coming. The missiles will come. The darts will come. And they will be loaded with poison, loaded with a fiery flame that will seek to take torch and get out of control way too quickly. But can I encourage you, pick up your shield of faith. If you're here this morning and under the sound of my voice and you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, can I say something? Not to scare you, spook you. You don't have any armor. You don't have any armor. You're standing all alone against the adversary. You're standing against a lion, the Bible calls, who is seeking whom he might devour. And I want to encourage you this morning, if that's you, if you've had faith in anything but the shed blood of Jesus Christ for your sinful state, listen, you're standing alone. You have no armor, but I got good news for you. You can get loaded up totally with the armor of God this morning. And that's simply by going to Jesus and throwing yourself at the mercy of the Lamb of God who took away your sins. You believe upon Him, you will instantly become a child of God. You will be instantly given the armor of God. And then there's my brethren here this morning. You know you're saved. You know you have Christ as your Savior. But perhaps you've been just letting those fiery darts get right in. And you feel like there's a fire out of control right now. Well, listen. Quench it. Quench it. Right now. Pick up the shield of faith. And God promises that the flames will go out. The shield of faith. Just like that iron dome in Israel. Missiles coming from all directions. Many directions. Daily, those people. But boy, that iron dome now, intercepting left and right. Defense system. A remarkable defense system. But I tell you what, we got a better one. spiritually speaking. We have the greatest defense system in the world. It's called the shield of faith. My question to you this morning, are you taking it? Is it on the ground somewhere? Do you need to pick it back up? Are you holding it? If you are holding it, if you're under attack, I just want to encourage you, brethren, just hold strong. They'll get quenched. And God will be honored. And the battle is won. Because Jesus has promised it as we take up the shield of faith. Hey, listen, I love what Psalm 43, verse 5 says. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? What is the answer? Hope in God. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance, O and my God. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for not leaving us defenseless. Lord, thank You for giving us everything we need. All things. And Lord, this piece of armor here, this defense of the shield of faith, Lord, who You said what You said, above all, taking up. Lord, I know I'm speaking on the behalf of many here, including myself, Lord. I've sensed in a real way of recent weeks, Lord, those fiery darts, my mind, things that I've thought of that I hadn't thought of in years, coming out of nowhere. Oh God, help us to take up the shield of faith, to understand this is not a playground. We are under attack. But thank God we fight from a position of victory. Lord God, that You gave us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Satan is defeated. He lost. He lost to the Lord Jesus, Lord, and we claim the victory. And God, help us this morning to hold up the shield of faith for Thy glory. Lord, I pray that You would have Your will and way in the invitation. Lord, we want to just commit this invitation time to You. I pray that people would have liberty to spend time with You, whether that be in their seats or whether that be here at an altar. Lord, I pray that You would just give liberty this morning as we are in the battle. Lord, for Your glory, I do pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus, my Savior. Amen.